Praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We adore you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. We glorify you. We adore you, Lord Most High. Jesus, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. How we love you. We worship you. Heavenly Father, we want to please you. Oh, Lord God, we love you. Holy Spirit, take reign today. Holy Spirit, minister to us today. Let your anointing break every yoke of bondage. Let your word be deeply planted in our hearts. Let it be rooted and engrafted into our hearts. And Lord, we want to bear much fruit for you and your kingdom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just really felt led to reteach something that I taught a few years ago in 2017, which is the protection prayer series. Some of you may have heard it, and some of you that are newer may not have. But I really believe that the Lord wants to remind us of how important prayer is now, more than ever. I know that ABCers are very prayerful people. However, because where sin abounds, grace abounds even more, God wants us to step it up. And as we see so much violence and disasters and anarchy and things around us, we should fret not. We need to trust in God that he's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, because God protects his believers. Amen? So I was remembering when I did this series, actually, on that day, it was a Friday, September 22nd of 2017, around 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, that many cable networks, you know, normally will have an EAS, emergency alert system, where on the TV, everything is blacked out, and then the message comes up and runs across your screen that might say, severe weather threat warning, and do the following, or may give you some kind of warning about something. And this day, when it came up, it was very odd, and most of the major cable networks got this EAS, but they didn't promote it. They're the ones that normally broadcast it. And what it said was, instead of some imminent, you know, approaching severe weather danger, it was a hacker. I don't know how they hacked into all the major networks. And it said something to the effect of, on September 23rd, 2017, that day will be the end of the world. That's what this message was reading in letters and words that were scrolling across everyone's screen. And nobody could understand how it got there or how they did that. Now, the Jewish calendar that year in 2017, because we used the Gregorian calendar and they used their own Jewish calendar based on the moons, was 5,777. So some Jews thought that perhaps, you know, that was a significant year. That was a demarcation of the 70th year that Israel became a nation. And it was also happened to be the 50th Jubilee year. And so all these things were happening at the same time in that year. And they thought, oh, is Jesus, you know, Christians would think, is Jesus the Messiah coming back? Would Jews think, is there a Messiah coming back? And other people were thinking, well, maybe this is the prophetic end of the Mayan calendar, which ended, and now people were scared and thought there was going to be an apocalypse and that the whole world would be destroyed and maybe by a big flood, but they didn't read that part in the Bible where God promised the rainbow that he will never destroy the earth with a flood again. They didn't know that part. And many people of global warming don't understand that. There might be floods, but not flood of the entire world like Noah had to be in the ark. Now, there will be disasters that will be coming that have been prophesied by the Bible, and we need to know their specific order and study them. And as Pastor Joshua has written his timeline as the Holy Spirit gave him on the book of Revelation, I really believe that was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he taught that book of Revelation. So those of you that haven't gone through and studied that series yet, you can get it on ABC On Demand online. And those of you that have, I know many people have gone through it over and over again to see where are we and what's going to be happening, because we don't need to be afraid. We need to remember that God protects believers, and we need to be reminded of these things every single day. Okay, so it doesn't matter what the speculation is of an asteroid's going to hit the earth or when it's going to hit or whatever, you know, because in 2012, they thought the world was going to be destroyed then. In 1988, they thought the world was going to come to an end. In fact, someone wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. And some people thought, well, Jesus is coming back during the Feast of Trumpets, known as Rosh Hashanah. We don't know. Only the Heavenly Father knows the exact date or time. But we will know the season. Just like we know the season when apples are going to be blossoming, because the farmers know when to plant, when to harvest. Well, we'll know the year, but maybe not the exact date and time. And so you need to really study that timeline that the Lord gave Pastor Joshua. And I believe that that is the Holy Spirit giving us that warning. And Christians should not believe in astrology, which is the study of the foretelling of the future through the study of the movements and relative positions of celestial bodies interpreted as having an influence on human affairs and the natural world. That is a form of fortune telling, which is mimicking true godly prophecy. Now, astronomy is a branch of science which deals with celestial objects, space, and physical universe as a whole. And some Christian astronomers were predicting the end of the times because of the blood moons and their alignment and all those kind of things. And then when Saturn moved into the constellation of Virgo, which is the Virgin, and it was in the position of where her womb would be in the constellation, the configuration. And then it moved over Bethlehem. And we saw that three wise men who are astronomers from the east, they studied this for years, and they knew that a new king would be born because Saturn was called the king of all planets. And so they sought out, who is this new king, this great king, that the heavens declare his glory and his coming. And they followed this, and they found Jesus in the manger. And all the money, then the value of the incense, gold, and myrrh that was presented as a gift for baby Jesus, that today would translate into millions of dollars. So God warns, and he shows you what to do, and then he guides you, just like we see it happening here with the three wise men. And then he gives you the provision to sustain yourself during that time. Now, God speaks to his people, those that are listening, those that are hearing, those that are praying, those that are doers of the word, not just hearers only. And do you know that God warned Joseph in a dream to take Mary and baby Jesus and flee immediately from Bethlehem and go to Egypt? Well, how could he do that with no money? But he had the money because the wise men brought it to him. And he didn't know that he would be in Egypt for years before God brought him back to Nazareth. And so fear not. It doesn't matter what's going on with COVID-19 in a pandemic. Fear not, for God protects believers through prayer, that he answers you and he is there for you. No matter what it looks like, be patient if you believe. Then you will see God's provision and protection, and he's preparing us for even worse times now. Do you know that Herod was ethnically an Arab? He wasn't even Jewish. He was a practicing Jew, but he was appointed to be the king of Judea by Rome. He increased the land and governed from Palestine to parts of modern Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. That's a big area. So Herod wanted to ensure that no other Jewish king would usurp his throne. And so when he heard the wise men come to him, he thought, wow, that's a big threat. If the Jews were going to have royalty be born unto them, he knew that the whole Jewish nation would support this king. So he sent his soldiers to kill all the babies from 2 years old to infancy to make sure that a king could not take his place. It was a horrible genocide. But you know what? Joseph didn't have to worry. He didn't have to fret. He obeyed God. He heard what God said and obeyed. You will hear God warn you. You will hear him prepare you. You will hear him guide you. And this is how we're protected, by drawing closer to him. Jesus did not come to seek an earthly throne. He gave up his spiritual deity to become flesh and blood, to have rights on this earth, because only a man has the legal right to take away the keys from Satan. And so Jesus could rescue all of mankind as the Son of Man. He came here as flesh and blood and as the only begotten Son of God. Jesus went to the cross at Calvary for you and me. The blood of Jesus was spilled as payment for our redemption and made a supernatural way to restore believers back to the Heavenly Father. When Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first fruit of the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This shows us that we can achieve that goal as well. And we can live and not die. Jesus is the perfect man without sin and showing us that we could also live a sin-free life. When people are saying that doomsday is on the way during these end times and currently with COVID-19 pandemic, we are not going to fret. We know that God protects us as his believers, but we must continually draw closer and ask the Holy Spirit to hear his voice better than we've ever heard it before. And so, even though you think that what we're going through now with the pandemic is bad, and now they're saying that it's gotten even worse during this time, that's coming up for Thanksgiving, we have to be wise. We have to hear the Holy Spirit and what he wants us to do in order to be wise. In the Passover in Egypt, when God told the Hebrews to put blood on their doorposts of the lamb and stay inside, no matter what, stay in the blood of Jesus, the protection of the blood, then the death angel passed them by. They had to hear and they had to obey. So many of you might be very tired of a lockdown. Many of you might be just very weary of, you know, using PPEs and your, you know, protection and all of that stuff. But we cannot be weary in well doing. We must be wise and we must listen to the Holy Spirit. So do what the Lord is telling you to do. Fear not, for God protects his people that hear him and obey him, and not just do our own thing because we think that's what is best for us. Sometimes what is best for us is not easy to do, but it's best for the outcome that we want. So that's where we have to look at a different perspective. So we must be willing and obedient. And just like Pastor Joshua was teaching last Friday night, we must be led by the Holy Spirit in every area of our life like never before. Give up all the carnal things. Are you ready to really consecrate every area of your life and maybe find areas that you have not? So no matter what trials and tribulations come to the earth, your mind will be in perfect peace, stayed and focused on Him. Your mind should not be focused on the news, on the internet, what people are saying. You should be focused on God's word and prayer. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will help us through. Let's go to letter A. Do not be afraid. Only believe, according to Mark 5:35-46-43. And I'm going to start reading, if you all want to turn to your Bibles, to Mark 5, a little bit prior to that. Let's back up and start at verse 21 to 34. That's not on your outline, but you could look at your Bible. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, this is verse 21, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, came by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death." Now, many people have lost loved ones due to COVID or challenges with the pandemic, and our heart hurts for you, but God is your comforter. But we don't want many more to be lost, and hopefully those loved ones are with Jesus and not suffering anymore, because there's no pain or tears or suffering in heaven. But when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Why? Because he was desperate in need for God to help him. And he said, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." And Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him, because they wanted to see that miracle of Jesus touching a child that was dying and be able to get her completely restored. But on the way there was a very big interruption. So now Jesus stops when he was on the way to go pray for Jairus' daughter. And now he's delayed. There's an interruption. Not all interruptions are ungodly. This one was godly. COVID-19 pandemic has been an interruption to our life. Has been an interruption to our businesses. Has been an interruption to our family and those people that have lost their family. But we have the hope that one day we will see our loved ones again that are in Jesus. And with this interruption, God knows what your goals are. God knows what your needs are. God knows everything. And He is never late, but we need to stay patient in faith and not give up. God protects His believers. Now, verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. She was hemorrhaging. Nobody could stop it. She spent all of her life savings on doctors. No one could help her. Jesus was her only way. There is no cure for COVID. Jesus has the cure. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to our Heavenly Father and to everything we need. And this woman had suffered many things from many physicians. That means they prodded and poked her and experimented on her. Nothing worked. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse because she went to man to help her. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, and she interrupted him. For she said to herself, "If I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She knew that the anointing of Jesus was a strong anointing that would be imparted into her. She could just get close enough to even touch his garment, not even to him. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, it says in verse 26. Immediately, the hemorrhaging stopped when she touched Jesus's garment, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. I'm sure she must have been in a lot of pain, so that I interpret that as the pain left. A lot of women that go through feminine things can understand hemorrhaging with severity is very challenging. And verse 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. He knew that someone was drawing on the anointing. He felt it leave him and be imparted to someone else. So he turned around in the crowd to try to find out who it was. And he said, who touched my clothes? He knew it. But his disciples said to him in verse 31, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? That's because everybody's just like packed in like sardines and shoulder to shoulder and trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. And everybody is just, you know, all around him. And everyone might be, you know, so close to him that it would be difficult to see who he's talking about because everybody is touching him or trying to get close to him. But someone not just touched him, but reached out and grabbed her blessings and received it. And he felt the impartation go to one person. Whatever you need right now, I want you to reach your hand out to heaven. Do it now. Reach your hand out to heaven, up to heaven. And you receive your blessings. You grab onto Jesus. You grab onto the garment of praise instead of depression and sorrow. You grab on instead of fear. You grab onto faith and receive that impartation of the anointing of God right now. It's touching every one of you that's doing this. Hang on to God. Go to him. Receive what's yours right now, whatever you need. Receive it in Jesus' name. It is being imparted to you because you are receiving it. You are grabbing onto what's yours. You are holding on to God and not letting go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe a lot of you got healed right now, instantly healed. A lot of you got instantly set free and delivered and cleansed. A lot of you had your provisions immediately come from heaven unto you. And you will see that manifestation of everything right now. As God is imparting this special anointing for you right now. As you believe and you reach out and you grab unto God. Just like this woman did. Using your faith. And verse 32 says, and he looked, Jesus looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So this interruption was very important for this woman. So even though there's an interruption in your life because of the pandemic, you can receive a great blessing from God in the midst of it all because you belong to God. And your resources do not come from this earth, but it comes from heaven, the kingdom of God. And you are an ambassador of that kingdom. And God always provides for his people and gives us what we need. Now there was an interruption to the interruption. So as he's dealing with this woman that just got healed of 12 years of hemorrhaging, who interrupted his way while he was going to pray for Jairus' daughter that was dying, there came another interruption. And it may seem sometimes that things may get worse, but never give up. Stay patient, stay in faith, and you will overcome. Mark 5:35. While he, Jesus, was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead." They're thinking, "Jesus, you're late. The girl died because this woman interrupted you and you took care of her and didn't take care of the little girl." That's what some might have thought. So the messenger said, "Why trouble the teacher any further?" Modern day translation, "Forget it. It's too late. He doesn't have to bother coming to your house, Jairus. Your daughter's already dead. It's too late." Now in verse 36 of Mark 5, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, Jairus, of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." God is telling you today, do not be afraid. Only believe. And Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Why? He did not want people who were negative, who were skeptical, and might have ruined the whole anointing. Verse 38, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly, because when someone died, when they die, the Jews, they're very expressive people, and they wail and they mourn, and they have mourners come in to express the family's grief, and it's very loud. And when he, Jesus, came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." You see, he called those things that are not as though they already were. And they ridiculed him, it says in verse 40. And when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl arose and walked. And she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Isn't it interesting? The woman who had the hemorrhaging of the issue of blood bled for 12 years. And now this is a 12-year-old girl that was healed. And that interruption didn't make Jesus have any challenges with doing the next miracle. So no matter if it looks worse to you, God is still working on your behalf. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he had commanded them strictly that no one should know it and that something should be given to her to eat right away. So you keep eating the word of God. You don't give up. And you arise in your faith. And Jesus is always there for you, no matter if it looks worse. You have victory. And you call that victory into being through your prayer. Don't call in what you see. Call what you want to see by declaring, affirming, and commanding the situation to line up to the word of God, and it shall be so. Number one, do not be afraid. This transliterates in the Greek, and you'll find this in the concordance under G5399, phobeo, which means do not fear, do not be scared away. The devil will bring thoughts to you that will scare you and say, "Give up. You won't make it. It's too late. God can't help you." Don't listen to those lies. God says, arise. And arise in your faith and your patience. Arise through your prayers, knowing that God protects you. Number two, Merriam-Webster defines afraid as filled with fear. Number three, believe means the transliteration is the Greek concordance, G4100, pisteo, which means commit to one's trust. Trust in God takes away away the fear. And instead of being filled with fear, be filled with faith and trust in God and God alone, He and His Word. Merriam-Webster defines believe as A, to have a firm or wholehearted religious conviction or persuasion, to regard the existence of God as a fact. This is in the dictionary. Refer to God being existent as a fact. Ha! Devil, you haven't taken that out of our Bible, and you haven't taken it out of the dictionary where unbelievers can read that. Wow. They have an example there. This comes out of the dictionary. Do you believe? Like, do you believe in the scriptures? Wow. This is evangelistic. As Christians, do you believe in the scriptures and not give up? Not have doubt and unbelief? B, to accept something as true, genuine, or real ideals. So believing is accepting as true a real ideal, a real standard of perfection that we believe in. What's the example? Do you believe in ghosts? The dictionary says. Well, most people do believe in evil spirits. Interesting. But the one that's going to help you is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. C, believe can mean to have a firm conviction as to the goodness, efficacy, or ability of something. For example, she believes in regular exercise. Do you believe in regular prayer? Is it consistent? Are you persistent? Do you have frequency in your prayers? Because you are going to have to do that in order to be ready for all the worst things that are coming in these end times. And ride out the storm. If you believe in your heart that God has answered your prayer when you asked one time, you should be a hearer and a doer to act on it and speak or affirm it aloud, out loud. Why? Out loud is where we're putting our words into the spirit realm so they can be sent forth to do that which God wants it to do. That is the send button on your email or your text. Speaking it out loud sends the word of God to create for you that which you need that has not been created or done before. To change for you and line up all the circumstances so that you can be helped. Affirm it out loud, because in the spirit realm it has already been done for you. So now you are decreeing that thing and validating it and confirming it in the spirit, so the angels of God will be sent to perform God's word once it's spoken. B, pray effective prayers. James 5:16, the second part in B, says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not a little, much. So if you aren't getting much more of what you need, then you are not fervently praying enough. Increase what you're doing. C, pray and affirm a scripture that God has promised you. Let's go to Ezekiel 12:25. That says, for I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. This world is so rebellious, it does not do what God wants it to do. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You, who are with God, keep speaking that word out, and God will not postpone your prayers. Even if there's an interruption, in the midst of that interruption, you can still get great blessings if you continue to have faith and patience and believe that God protects you. Then the word of the Lord will perform that which you've spoken forth. Let's go to Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper or be successful in the thing for which I sent it. That is a validation that God's word works. And how many of you can raise hands and say, I have prayed and see God help me through and I've seen answers. Well, here is another opportunity to see God's answers work for you again. But don't give up. Remember that God helps us, prepares us, and He protects us, and He provides for us. Let's go to Jeremiah 1:12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. God is ready to do more for you. You need to pray it through and pray the scriptures that line up with the promises of God, because it's not my word or my request that He's honoring. He honors His own word as I apply that promise to my situation, and thank God that that promise is mine and yours. Amen. Let's go to D. God wants to protect you as a believer. He wants to protect all believers. Number one, the Lord will fight for you. When you've done everything you know to do, stand and see the Lord is with you, and then He will fight on your behalf. You do your part, He'll do His part. A, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, who you shall see again no more forever, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. That's what He's saying. Don't give up. Don't be afraid that God is going to save you and rescue you out of this pandemic challenge and out of all the other tribulations to come, no matter how bad it gets. Number two, the Lord delivers you from trouble, it says in Psalm 34:19. A, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. All your challenges God will deliver you from. Number three, the Lord will not forsake you, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Don't let your spirit be crushed. Don't let your soul be crushed with depression or challenges of sadness or fear or frustration or anxiety or being perplexed. It says, we are perplexed but not in despair, so do not despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. You know, the people that are killed here on earth, and as they are believing and standing in Christ in faith, are martyrs. We will see each other again. We will. That is God's promise. And they are not going to have eternal death because we are born again. We will live forever with Jesus if we continue in God's way and His word, as we have received Him as our Lord and Savior, and as we're filled with the Holy Spirit and move in the gifts of the Spirit, move in the fruit of the Spirit, move being guided by the Spirit of God, He will always protect us. But we must hear and obey in order to stay protected. The Lord will not forsake you. Keep that in mind. Now let's go to point number four. The Lord will be your refuge and protect you. And it says that in Psalm 91. Now praise Psalm 91 every day upon awakening without fail. It is strongly suggested to memorize it by heart, especially in these times when things in our country and around the world are becoming more and more violent, with multiple news reports of many disasters occurring. Those disasters may be occurring or going to occur, but it doesn't matter. If you're ready, you will ride through the storm. Number five, daily affirmations to protect you from COVID-19. Now, a lot of people say to me, I don't have a lot of time to pray. I'm busy with my work, my business. Retired people seem to be busier than people that are working. I don't know what the deal is. The devil tries to steal retired people's time, and they don't get much time to pray. That doesn't make sense to me. It's the devil trying to steal our time. But do you have a couple of minutes a day where you can be assured that you and your family will ride out the storm, and that disasters can be averted and that the Lord can show you what to do, how to do it, prepare you, provide for you, and protect you better. I know that there's a lot of Christians that died in the Twin Towers when we had that 9/11. But many of them didn't know how to hear the voice of God good enough. And he was trying to warn them, I'm sure, because he's faithful to his word. But the ones that could hear the Lord and the ones that did obey were saved. The others we will see again in heaven. Which category does someone want to be in? Now, this takes 25 seconds. Don't tell me that someone doesn't have 25 seconds to do three affirmations. I always add my family in it. If you are single and have no family, if you want to say family of God, so you pray for the rest of us in the body of Christ. But I think this is a way to pray for myself and intercede for my family at the same time. Because of time management, I'm not saying two different prayers. I'm saying one prayer that covers us all. You can also say all my loved ones and friends as well. And you don't have to name every single one of them. God knows who they are. So 25 seconds. Let's say this together. We are going to read A, B, and C. And it's going to take 25 seconds. In the name of Jesus. Let's read it together. In the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus is killed or destroyed if it comes close to me, my family, pets, car, or possessions. In the name of Jesus, every COVID-19 virus that comes in, on, or above my family's home or property, business, or workplace is instantly killed or destroyed. My family, pets, and I have been inoculated from COVID-19 by the blood of Jesus. Now that takes 25 seconds. We were not rushing. Now, those of you that are praying Psalm 91 every day, that's great. I really recommend that you personalize it. There are 16 verses. Now, we put it in Arial Font 14 for people who have challenges with vision so that it's bigger to read, but it looks longer because it takes up two pages. But it actually is only 2 minutes and 19 seconds long. Okay, so let's read this together. Let's read it out loud. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, read it with me. I pray for myself and for my family, friends, and loved ones that daily we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you we trust. Surely you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings we take refuge. Your truth is our shield and buckler, and we are not afraid by the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look, only a spectator shall we ourselves be, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, and see the reward or punishment of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even our Most High, our dwelling place. No evil shall befall us, nor shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us, to accompany, defend, and preserve us in all of our ways in obedience and service to protect us. In their hands they bear us up, lest to prevent that we dash our foot against a stone or stumble. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, Lord. Therefore, you, God, deliver us. You set us on high that you put us up so high that we cannot be captured by the enemy. Because we know your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a personal knowledge of your mercy, love, and kindness. We trust and rely on you, knowing you will never forsake us. We call upon you, Heavenly Father, and you answer us. You, Holy Spirit, are always with us in trouble. You, Lord Jesus, deliver us, honor, and promote us. With long life, God, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, here's a 15-second brief version. If you don't have 2 minutes, when you do get 2 minutes, you can read this personalized version. This is my own prayer that I had put together for myself that God showed me with different translations of the Bible so that I could see the clarification of this psalm in a better way. And so I wanted to share it with you how the Lord had showed me. But sometimes when you have to run out the door or whatever, don't run out the door until you at least have protection over yourself. When you first wake up in the morning, if you don't have time to pray this whole prayer right then, and you have to run into the shower, at least pray this prayer, because somebody that we know and love dearly went in the shower and then hit his head. It was a tremendously challenging thing that happened to this person. And so now we're learning to pray this first thing right as we wake up and confess our sins and do our morning prayers. You can at least do this brief version before you pray out the whole longer version. And before you go to sleep, during the day in the car, when you're driving, before you get on your way, when you're in your car, you could pray it again. So you could write this down. I'm going to read it to you. And then you could write it down, this 15-second brief version of Psalm 91. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I activate or appropriate the protection of Psalm 91 over myself, family, for the entire day today. You can also say for myself, family, businesses, and all that pertains to us or pertains to me for the entire day. So I'll say it slower so you could write it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I activate the protection of Psalm 91 over myself, family, and all that pertains to us. You can also add work or businesses for the entire day today. Amen. Now, it's still good to go ahead and recite the entire psalm. That's the most effective, but at least you will have that protection prayer over yourself. And if you have a couple of minutes a day to pray Psalm 91 and these anti-COVID prayers every day, it's very important for you because God does protect you as a believer, but you must be a doer and hearer as well. Arise, go forth and fulfill your destiny with your patience and your faith intact, knowing that regardless of this pandemic interruption, that you on the other side are arising in victory and see yourself already victorious and recalling those things that are not as though they already were, that we call you protected, prepared, and provided for regardless of what's going on with this pandemic. Regardless, God protects us and we use his prayers and we are doers and hearers of the word because God protects his believers. Amen. Love you all. We will also continue with part two next Friday at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss that. Next Friday at 7 p.m., I will do part two and help you through these challenging times. Love you and God bless you.